If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be taking a look at the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, and that's towards the end of your Bible. You've got 1 and 2 Peter, and then 1 and 2, 3 John. And we're going to be looking at chapter number 1. It's always good to be here in my home church. My name is Lee Davis, and when I was a little boy, this is where I used to attend church. Up to about my teenage years before we moved, and it's always good to come back home and see old familiar faces that I know. One of the first times that I ever went out and preached was actually in this church, and James Henshaw called me one night, and he says, brother, he says, we want you to come and preach. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what did you call me for? You know, I wasn't preaching at the time. He said, well, we had a prayer meeting with the deacons, and he said, God laid you on our heart. And I was like, wow. And I still remember that first opportunity, and the title of the sermon was A Call to Faithfulness. I still remember that, and God just blessed that. And so it's always good to come home. It's such a just a blessing. And Lewis, I got a Chaps coat on, just if you wanted to know, okay? I think mine's made by Chaps. So. But as we begin this morning, I want to think about encouragement. You know, we all need encouragement today. And, you know, some of the greatest encouragements that I've ever received in my life were letters, personal letters that people wrote to me. They've meant a lot to me in my life. You know, they've been great encouragements to me over my life. And I want to share a letter with you that I don't think I've ever shared with anybody before, but I want to help illustrate what's taking place in this letter that Peter is writing to the church at that time, because the church was going through some difficult times. And we all face difficult things in our lives. All of us do. And so Peter wrote this as an encouragement. And so the title of my message this morning is Jesus Christ, Our Living Hope. Jesus Christ, Our Living Hope. Last week we celebrated Resurrection Day, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how appropriate today to talk about Jesus Christ, Our Living Hope. But I want to share this letter with you, and maybe we got some seniors here today. My mother wrote this letter to me. My mother passed away almost 6 years ago. But she wrote this letter to me the week that I graduated high school. And it's dated June 7th, 1991. And it says, Dear Lee, we finally made it. I'm so proud of you and what you have achieved. I've been thinking all week of what I could say to you as you start a new beginning in life. I guess one of the most important things is to believe in yourself. You have so much potential if you put it to use, and you can do anything that you set your mind to. Never let anyone or anything get you down. Set goals for yourself and work hard, and you will achieve them. Never say that I can't, because you probably won't. Always say that I can. Keep faith in the Lord. He will carry you through every problem and obstacle that you may encounter. God never promised you a rose garden, but trust in Him makes the thorns so much easier. Live your faith. Don't say that you believe in God. Show it by the way that you live your life and the choices that you make. Put others first, and you will feel better about yourself. Give to the Lord generously of your time and your money, and watch, He will watch over your life. Take time in life. Each day you will learn and grow a little bit more. Don't try to do everything in one day. Life offers so many choices and opportunities. Pace yourself. You don't have to do everything in one day. My hope and prayer is that you have true happiness for the rest of your life. I pray that God would watch over you, and you would know that you have truly been one of the greatest joys in my life. I love you, son, more than words can say. And I'll always be here for you. Enjoy life and remember that happiness starts within. Make wise and thoughtful choices, and you won't have to live with many regrets. And she goes on to say, I love you, Lee, and want only the best for your life. You have truly grown into a fine gentleman, and I'm very proud of you. May life offer you only the best. Love with all my love, Mom. And I share that with you, but I've never shared that with anybody before, because at times in life, we need encouragement And the Bible is that source of encouragement. It's our source of hope. And so Peter is writing to these believers. He's writing to them to give them hope. Now, I remind you that Peter he'd served with the Lord Jesus. He was one of the disciples. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years. He'd ate with him. He'd ministered with him. He traveled with him. All these things. And then he witnesses the death of his Lord, his beloved Savior. And then he experiences the resurrection of him. And 30 years later, he writes this book of 1 Peter, probably within the last 2 years of his life. And so he was writing to people that were suffering as Christians, people that were under a lot of persecution. Maybe today you're dealing with a situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's fear of the future. Maybe it's fear of the unknown. And so God sends this word to us as an encouragement. And the same as those people in that day and time, they were looking for something to hold on to. They were looking for hope. And that's why Peter wrote this, friends. Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in an end time. And so we see this morning that Peter writes this word of hope today, folks. He writes to the church. And the first part that we see here this morning is the invitation that God has given for salvation. It says here in this first verse I just read to you, blessed be the God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. Now, I want to tell you this morning that if you're saved today, if you know the Lord Jesus, or maybe you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who took the initiative for your salvation. It was God who initiated it. He has caused us to be born again, friends. God was the one who originated where you would be born one day, the neighborhood that you would live, the people that you would work with, all for a purpose to cause you to be born again. I remember years ago that as I got on my way growing up and I got away from Christ and I got away from church, at some point I realized that I'd lost my way and I needed Christ in my life again. And I began to follow the Lord, and God began to move in my life in ways that I hadn't really seen Him do. One of the things that took place is my parents and I, we ended up moving back closer together. I had lived 60 miles from my parents. I lived in Mechanicsville. And I remember my wife and I buying our first house. And I went to my mother one day, and I said, Mom, Nancy and I, we bought our first house. She said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, we're moving to Powhatan. She said, that's funny. We're moving to Powhatan too. And I said, oh, yeah, where are you moving to, Mom? We were 3 miles apart from one another. 3 miles. God was causing the things in my life to come together. And God will cause the circumstances in your life to come together. Not only did we move closer together, and I had the influence of my parents in my life in a point when I would listen to them, but I also went to work. I changed jobs. I went to work for a man that was a Christian boss. And every time that something would happen, he'd always give glory to God. He'd say, thank you, Lord. He would always point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this living hope that we talk about begins with a new birth. Just like a child, just like that baby, that grandchild that you're getting ready to have, Judy. One day, that little child, you want to see that little child run and play and dance and do all those things that it does. But it starts with a new birth, folks. God will use so many things in our lives to draw us to Him. He'll use our brokenness. He'll use our emptiness. All things that God will use in your life to draw you to Him. Some of us may think that We planned out the events of our life. Some of you might say, well, I'm here today because I chose to be here. Well, let me read to you what Ephesians says. Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before you were ever born, before God ever created the foundation, before he ever laid the earth, God planned for you to be here today. Think about that. He ordained you to be here today, friends, that you may receive salvation. We need to be born again. Why do we need to be born again? Well, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 tells us, and you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among them we are all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And so, friends, we must be born again. This old nature, it doesn't desire to know God. It doesn't desire the things of God. It doesn't desire to do the will of God. It does not desire to submit to God. It does not desire to live a righteous life, folks. That's the old nature. The reason that it doesn't desire the things of God is because it's dead. We need a new nature. We need to be born again. We need a nature that only God can give us. This new nature desires the things of God. 1 John speaks of this. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Do you have a desire to obey God's word, friends? Second, we know that we have passed out of life into death because we love the brethren. You know, one of the things that I love being with God's people. I love being in church on Sunday morning. There's no place that I would rather be. You know, sometimes people will tell me, I don't really have to go to attend church. You know, I don't really have to attend church to be a Christian. I'm thinking, well, don't you have a desire to be with Christians? Don't you have a desire to be with God's people? Three, we know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. We will have our desire to live a righteous life, a life that pleases God. Fourth, we will have spiritual fruit in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness and goodness, and self-control. And these are all things that we will exhibit in our life, friends, because we've been born again. And the Bible says that he who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Well, let's look first and foremost at the things that the world puts their hope in. What is the hope of those who focus on material things? Think about that. Well, every material thing will eventually break down. It will become obsolete. Some of the stuff that people put their trust in becomes stolen. I remember years ago, I thought I had to have this certain model of pickup truck. I said, I got to save enough money to get that pickup truck. And I never got it. And now I see it on the road, and I'm like, why did I ever want it? You know what I mean? Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so the question this morning is, where are you putting your treasures at today, folks? Where are you spending your time? Are you spending time on things that will last? What is the hope of those who focus on physical strength or physical beauty? Well, beauty fades away. The Bible tells us that. I saw a young lady a while back, and she was taking pictures, and she was putting them on, I guess it's Snapchat. I don't have social media. And I said, you take pictures and post them? She said, yeah. I said, well, how many of those pictures have you taken? She said, well, I've taken over the years probably 4,000 pictures. And I was like, wow, 4,000 pictures of yourself. But we see that this body, it breaks down. It gets weaker over time. It gets sick. Recently, I turned 50 years old, and I can tell I'm getting a little bit older. You know, I've moved out of the 20s. I've moved out of the 30s. I've moved out of the 40s. And now I'm starting into the 50s. And I can tell that I have to work just to maintain my strength. What is the hope of those who focus on earthly accomplishments? Well, the Bible tells us that eventually all earthly accomplishments will come to nothing. They will all be gone one day. So whatever we can accomplish here on earth will not last. What is the hope of those who embrace a spiritual life that does not include Jesus Christ? Those who do not know Christ, this world will fade away for them. Everything decays. Even if this life is really good for them, folks, it leads to nothing. It leads to endlessness. But Peter says, for the Christian, there is a living hope. The major theme of this book of 1 Peter is living hope. Living is the opposite of that which is dead. It means something that continues to grow, something that will last, a hope that grows stronger the closer that we get to eternity. I remember as a young man, when I first gave my life to Christ, I could sense God working in my life. I could sense that God had rebirthed me in my life. I could sense that God was doing something in me. So much so that my mother came to me one day and she said, Leah, I don't know what's happened to you. She said, but as she put it in her words, the family has set up and took notice. And so this living hope is something that begins to grow in our lives. It's something that continually takes place. The closer that we get to heaven, folks, the stronger that hope grows. As I've been walking with the Lord the last 25 years of my life, that hope is so much stronger than it was when I was first born again. And I'm sure that most of us can say the same thing. Time destroys most of the hopes that people put their trust in. Think about it. Things that people trust in over time, they fade away. They pass away. But the Christian is born into a living hope that is never corrupted. It never fades away, the Bible says. God has placed His own seed in our heart, in our lives, that neither time nor eternity can ever take away from us. But we must remember that in this life, we're going to go through some things sometimes. We see beyond these things to the glory that one day we will experience. You know, sometimes in a person's life, we have to go through things that are hard. Sometimes things that are difficult, things that we don't look forward to. Recently, I had a neck surgery. I had a herniated disc in my neck. And when the doctor told me that I had to have the surgery, I was like, I really don't want to have the surgery. I mean, I was on the point, I was just wanting to get sick. And she told me, she said, you're going to feel so much better. I was having pains in my arms and legs and numbness. And she said, you're going to feel so much better. But sometimes in the Christian life, we have to go through certain things that are not always easy, but we look to the hope on the other side. Think about that person who takes chemo. They're not looking forward to the chemo, but they're looking forward to the other side. They're looking forward to a hope. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that this present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Sometimes we have to go through things, folks, and we don't understand why. But one day it will be made clear, and one day we will live in the presence of Almighty God, folks. Not only is it a hope that God has caused us to be born again, but this living hope is also leads us into a protected inheritance. Think about the inheritance that we have. Inheritance means property that is received by the heir. This passage is a statement of blessing because we are believers in Jesus Christ. When we hear of inheritance, we usually think about something that's down the road, something that's in the future. But to the Jews, this would have meant inheritance possessed now. And so we think about what Peter is saying here, that we've already entered into what's being protected for us, folks. Our salvation, the Holy Spirit, the work of God in our lives, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, the peace of forgiveness, the heaven that we will enjoy someday. Lamentations says it this way, 3:24, the Lord is my portion, He is our inheritance. Psalm 73:25-26 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's because we're children of God. One day that we will have this inheritance when we receive, when we step into heaven, folks. It will never fade away. You think about some inheritances that are gone before they're ever spent. My mother used to laugh at me all the time, and she would tell me, she'd go out and make a purchase, and she would say, "I'm spending you and your brother's inheritance." And she would chuckle, and she would laugh about that. But you think about the inheritances that people look forward to and they never receive here on earth. They pass away. They perish. The Greek writers had thought of an invading army, something that could come in and be destroyed. Folks, our inheritance in heaven will never be destroyed. It will never be taken away. Eternity will not disappoint us. Sometimes earthly inheritances destroy families. I've known families that have been destroyed. But our heavenly inheritance will only lead to good in our lives. Peter says it's kept for us in heaven. Not only is our inheritance guarded, but we're guarded, folks. You know, the Bible says that the work that God began in us, he's going to complete it one day. You know, we're being saved for heaven one day. We're being kept for heaven. Peter says it this way: if you want hope, stop looking around and look up. And Psalm 73 says it this way best: Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And so this living hope that we're talking about today, folks, is Jesus Christ. He's our only hope today. And so he's our living hope. And I thought about it this way as I get ready to close in a minute. I thought about the people that I've known in my life, people who've lived their life for Jesus Christ, and they got to the end of their life, and they were never disappointed in living their lives for Christ. I've known some people who didn't live their life for Jesus Christ, and they were disappointed at the end of their life. But I've never met anyone, I've never heard of anyone, I've never read of anyone that lived their life for Jesus Christ and got to the end of their life and was disappointed. And so, friends, remember today that Jesus is our living hope. Can you remember that? Let's close in prayer if we could. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that, Lord, you're our living hope today. We thank you for the blessing of salvation.